In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to the feast of St. Charles Lwanga and his 22 companions who were killed for their faith in Christ, who suffered martyrdom in Uganda, in Africa, not so long ago, just in the very last part of the 1800s, right before the turn of the 20th century. They were only canonized in 1964, so they're very recent saints. Now, during this liturgical season, during this time of the Ascension, especially as we're doing the Pentecost Novena, or preparing for the gift of the Holy Spirit at the Feast of Pentecost, the Great Solemnity of Pentecost, we have a moment then, the opportunity to take a moment to consider how the Holy Spirit renews the Church in every age. Right? In every age, the Holy Spirit renews the Church by raising up great and heroic saints. And this is something that's really very important to keep in mind and remember, because we often have a tendency to think, oh, if only I lived in an earlier time, right? Like, I wouldn't mind the 13th century and meet St. Thomas Aquinas. That'd be great, right? There's that temptation. You can't hardly fault someone for it. I mean, especially if you wanted to meet St. Thomas. You can't fault someone for that, of course. But nevertheless, there's a real temptation to think that the Holy Spirit is somehow no longer fruitful, right? That an earlier age somehow had all the glory. But that's not true, for the Spirit remains ever fruitful in the life of the Church. And every year on the Feast of Easter, of course, at the Easter Vigil, we consider the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit in bringing forth our new children to God. And of course, on Pentecost, we have the opportunity, again, we take a second look at the gift of the Easter Vigil and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all who believe. So no, we must admit that the Spirit is fruitful in every age, producing not only continually producing children of God, but also producing heroic saints in the Church. And so we have the opportunity today to consider St. Charles Lwanga and his companions. Right, when we think of Africa, our hearts and minds, if we know the lives of the saints, when we think of Africa, our hearts and minds probably go back to someone like St. Cyprian, or especially St. Perpetua and St. Felicity. Right? We name Perpetua in the Roman canon. Right? So we think of these great saints from the early Church, and we should think of them, yes. But also, when we think of Africa, we should think of names like Charles Lwanga, his companions, saints from our own day who suffered just as heroically for their faith in just as heroic of a manner. So I want to talk briefly about Charles Lwanga's companions and their heroic death, their great martyrdom, by which they have made the Church ever fruitful in their witness to Christ. So Charles Lwanga and his companions, they lived in Uganda. He was originally pagan, as were almost everyone in Uganda at the time. They were all pagans. The king was pagan as well. Now, Charles had a very high place in the royal court, and he was a very well-respected individual. In fact, actually, apparently, he was very striking. They said he was the most handsome man in Uganda, I guess, is what they would say about him. So anyways, he was very well-known, very striking, a very high place of honor, and he was won over to the Catholic faith. He converted, became Catholic. He was only baptized, actually, the very night before his martyrdom, but he was, for many years, spreading the faith. The ordinary process was much, much longer at that time. That's why it took so long before he was finally baptized. But he was a believer for a long time, preaching the faith, explaining the faith to others, leading many, many, many others to the Catholic faith, and including, in particular, these companions of his who were also in the royal court, who were servants in the royal court. Now, as I say, the king was pagan. It was a very pagan atmosphere. And so there were many things which were horrible, horrible abominations, right? Horrible, horrible abominations would take place. I won't go into the details. Just trust me, it was bad. It was real bad. Now, Charles was able to preserve his companions this was before they murdered him, he was able to preserve them from all these terrible, terrible immoral practices of the time. Right? So he was, because he had such a high place with the king, he was able to preserve those converts to the faith from a lot of the immoral practices that were common in the royal court at that time. So he did much good to defend the little ones whom God had entrusted to his care. Now finally, though, in the end, the king was swayed by another attendant, another one of his advisors, who was very anti-Christian and anti-Catholic. The king was swayed against the Catholics and the Christians in general for this particular reason, namely that they would not partake in some of the terrible, terrible practices during wartime. So, of course, what would happen in these pagan cultures when there was a battle was there was also usually genocide would follow, right? So if they took over a tribe, if they conquered a tribe, there would be a massive genocide. Now, sadly, this has happened even in our own time, right? Not all that long ago at all, it's happened again. And so these genocides were very commonplace in Africa under the pagan king. And, of course, the Christians would not participate in that genocide. You know, so they would not be good soldiers, so-called good soldiers, for the king. And so for this and for other reasons as well, because the Christians obviously wouldn't offer false worship to the pagan gods and all these other things, for this and for other reasons, the king turned against Charles Lwanga and his companions, turned against the Christians within his domain, and mostly Catholics, although in fact there was actually some Anglicans there as well. There was also a number of Anglicans, and all of these were put to death for believing in Jesus. Now then, let's consider just briefly the death of Charles Lwanga. So he was baptized the night before he was executed. When they took him out to the place of execution, everyone was astonished because he seemed just filled with joy. They said, there's just in the records, they talk about how he was smiling, seemed so happy to give his life for God. So even the pagans were astonished, right? That's why the church gives us the gospel we just heard today from Matthew, right? From the Sermon on the Mount. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad when they insult you and persecute you, utter every evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. And St. Charles Lwanga fulfilled that just as well as any of the early martyrs ever did. Right? Just as well as any of the early martyrs ever did, Charles Lwanga went to his place of execution filled with rejoicing. So much so that they were all astonished as they looked at him. Okay, so then they bring him to the place and he's going to be burnt alive. So they're putting all the sticks together to get it ready to light the fire where he will be burnt, right? They're trying to get the pyre set where they will burn him. And he was, of course, all bound in ropes, all tied up. And he begged the executioner, please untie the rope. I beg you, oh, untie the rope. Please, let me loose. And they're thinking, like, what's this? Look, he's groveling after all. But why did he want to be let loose? So that he could help them put the sticks on the fire. That's what he did. They let him loose, and he put the sticks on the fire. He helped to ready the place of his execution. He wanted to show them that they couldn't harm him, that they couldn't take anything from him, because he already had everything from Christ. Right? That whatever they could take was of no avail anyways. That he would receive his body back, on the day of judgment in any case, and would be glorified. And so he was showing them that he went to meet death, though it was an unjust, wicked death, he went to meet that death with total joy, total resignation, total peace of soul, even to the point of being ready to prepare the place of his execution. You know, it reminds me of many of those early saints, right? Many of those early saints. Yeah, in any case, many of those early saints, we could talk, I don't want to go off on all of them. In any case, though, many of those early saints, and he did it likewise, just like they did, ready in the place of his execution. And then they laid him upon the sticks, And he was burnt alive, but in fact, much more, he was cooked. He was cooked alive. So it wasn't just that the flames took him out very quickly, but it was a very, very slow death as he was cooked over the fire. There we might think, of course, of St. Lawrence or some of those other early saints. And now, of course, the faith is spreading all over in Africa, right? The faith is spreading all over. And there's been many more saints from Africa, and there will be many more to come in the future. And so we see the power of the Holy Spirit ever renewing the church, ever giving us these examples of zeal. And when we look at someone like St. Charles Lwanga, or we think of all the saints from the past, then we're also inspired, right? We're also inspired. If they could give all of that for Christ, I too can lay aside pleasures of this life to follow God. I too can sacrifice little things here and there out of love for God and love for my neighbor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.